give them a hand.
And yes, it is true that the pastor can indeed baptize those who are taller than himself. Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to the Lord's house. And please do take a moment to sign the friendship register and pass it along to those seated next to you. And also, please take a look at the announcements inside the bulletin flyer, including food pantry needs and upcoming events through the rest of October and into early November. The Men's Fellowship Supper will be this Thursday, October 27th. And the Youth Service Day will be on Saturday, October the 29th. And then on Sunday, November 6th at noon, there will be a fellowship dinner along with a bazaar and silent auction sponsored by the ladies of the Christian Women's Fellowship. There's also an elder and deacon training on that day, November 6th as well. And don't forget that today at noon is our monthly meeting of the General Board. So if you're an elder or deacon or committee person, please do plan to attend if possible. That's at noon today. We do need a quorum in order to vote on our 2023 budget and on a declaration of officers letter for our banking services. I'm sure the bankers and CPAs and the crowd will know what that means. Our thanks this morning to Ken Remmert for helping out in Ryan's role this morning. Ryan, unfortunately, is in quarantine with the coronavirus, so we certainly wish him well as he heals. Ken, thank you for your presence this morning and welcome.
Thank you. Friends, let's stand together and join together in our call to worship. We have then, my brothers and sisters, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by the means of the death of Jesus. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Join with me in hymn number 272, singing verses 1, 3, and 5.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought us to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought us, and for our life he died. Though with a scornful wonder and world sees us oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. We now on earth have union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like him the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
May we bow in a word of prayer. We are indeed grateful, Lord God, for the privilege to worship here in our church home with like-minded Christians, and also to welcome visitors who we consider as brothers and sisters in Christ here in our church family. As we do each week, Lord God, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to move among us as we begin our service of fellowship and worship and praise. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the way. Tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
McKenna, over here. Good job. Good morning, guys. Wow. Four people baptized this morning. That is so awesome. So I got a couple questions for you here. Is getting baptized what saves you? No. That's not what saves you, is it? No. You get saved when we confess that we believe in Jesus. And by his power, we're saved by the power of Jesus. You got it right now? Is it good? Okay, good. So if getting baptized doesn't save us, why do you think we do it? Why do we get baptized? And why do we get dunked all the way in the water? Well, we get dunked, or what we call totally immersed, for a couple of pretty good reasons. First off, that's how Jesus did it. So if Jesus did it that way, it's probably a pretty good way to do it, don't you think? Yeah? Yeah. But also, when we get dunked under the water, it symbolizes that we're burying the old you. The old you is going away. And when you come back up out of the water, it means that you come back a brand new you. Because that's what God promises us. If we believe in him, that's what happens. We get to be brand new us. That's pretty awesome, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Because then we get to be a follower of Christ. You know what another word for a follower of Christ is? It's a disciple. You get to be a disciple of Christ. Awesome. And part of when we get to be a disciple, God commands us that we should share the truth of Jesus with others or testify. And when we get baptized, that's what we're doing. We're testifying that we have accepted Jesus and that we confess our sins and that we want to share with the whole world that we believe in Jesus and we're Christians. And that's what it is. It's a testifying. Yeah. There's going to be lots of other ways for you to testify as you get bigger, but this is where you get to start after you get baptized. So as you get bigger, and when you feel that in your heart, when you feel that God's calling you, then you what? You get to talk to mom and dad and talk to the pastor and figure out if you're ready to get baptized, huh? When you get bigger, when you get older, you have a big, good understanding. All right. Should we have a prayer? Can we have prayer hands? Can you do prayer hands? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit among us today. We thank you for the glorious honor of being baptized into the living presence of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us this opportunity to testify to the world that we are Christians and that Jesus is the only way. We thank you for this day and these children, and we ask you to bless us as we go through our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go before God in prayer, a number of folks for us to continue to keep in prayer. Jerry Donahue has had a number of concerns that have arisen back and forth over the last several weeks. He was back in the hospital this past week, but was able to return home yesterday. So please keep Jerry and Betty Donahue in prayer. We also want to lift up Ryan as he is home dealing with the coronavirus. And Ken, we are so grateful for your assistance today in his place. Thank you. We want to lift up John and Mary Jane Adams. John is undergoing another round of radiation treatment for lung cancer that will go through the end of the month of October. And Ed, we certainly keep your parents, George and Winnie Barnes, in prayer each day. Bless you guys. We also want to lift up David Keel, the son of Ed and Shirley, as he is continuing his rehabilitation from a recent stroke. And others whom we've been lifting up for some time include Betty Foster, Diana Stone, Larry Pettis, Jill Gregory, Rihanna Ralston, Debbie Buzinski, Larry Pitts, Lois Berry, Suzanne Darling, and Jean Booth, as well as Lois Strzok. And among family members, Michelle Vales, Mary Jane Zahner, Claire Swanson, Debbie Hamilton, Debbie Bass, David Brownfield, Samantha Sander, Chris Bishop, and Anoki Krager. So with all of those people upon our hearts, let us lift up a word of prayer before our God. Merciful and loving God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For as the author of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 reminds us, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let us encourage one another all the more as we anticipate the day of our Lord's return. And as Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as often as we have the chance, may we do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. And even though there may be times we feel discouraged as challenges may seem insurmountable, May we remember that even as every generation before us faced challenges, many far greater than our own, they and we can certainly remain faithful to the end of our days here on earth. And just as the crowd in the stadium invigorates the players on the field and helps them achieve their finest, may we also remember that the author of the book of Hebrews reminds us that there is a large crowd of witnesses, the faithful people of God from past generations, that surround us as if we are players on the spiritual field of life in our day. And the saints that prevailed in generations before our time are cheering us on, encouraging us to do our part for the betterment of God's kingdom in our day. For the encouragement we receive each day from this great crowd of witnesses, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As people of faith, sometimes it's difficult for us to figure out where we fit into this puzzle of our earthly life. And in truth, we may never really see the completed picture that that puzzle makes. But what's important is to live our lives with our eyes to heaven. A single thread in a tapestry, though its colors brightly shine, can never see its purpose in the pattern of the grand design. And the stone that sits on the very top of the mountain's mighty face, does it think it's more important than the stones that form the base? So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see with your eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes. La 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 la. A lake of gold in the desert sand is less than a cool fresh spring, and to one lost sheep a shepherd boy is greater than the richest king. If a man lose everything he owns, has he truly lost his worth? Or is it the beginning of a new and brighter birth? So how do you measure the worth of a man in wealth or strength or size, in how much he gained or how much he gave? The answer will come. The answer will come to him who tries to look at his life through heaven's eyes. So that's why we share all we have with you, though there's little to be found. When all you've got is nothing, there's a lot to go around. No life can escape being blown about by the winds of change and chance. And though you'll never know all the steps, you must learn to join the dance. You must learn to join the dance. La da 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 la da la 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 la
judge what a man is worth by what he builds or buys. You can never see with your eyes on earth. Look through heaven's eyes. Look at your life. Look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes.
We participate in the sharing of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning, for Jesus commanded us in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, to partake in this commemoration of his sacrifice as often as we will in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. His body sacrificed on the cross, his blood shed, as he became the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin once and for all. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 also tells us that the followers of Christ in the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, as well as the breaking of bread and prayer. Thus it is every Sunday morning that we break the bread of the Lord's Supper to remember Christ's sacrifice. May we prepare our hearts and minds to receive the elements of God's great grace. As we turn to our communion hymn, it's number 393, One Bread, One Body. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Grain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to one for all. One body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means then that every time We eat from this bread and drink of this cup. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. But now this morning, we are also privileged with the fact that the Bojina family has come forward and expressed their obedience to Christ's example through not only their confession of faith, but also today, the service of baptism. And so I think it's appropriate for the very first thing for you all to do in honor of Christ after your baptism is to also share in the Lord's Supper. And that's why I try to make this a special occasion as the community of believers also gathers at the table. And so first of all, I'd like to give each of you the bread representing the body of Christ. If you will go ahead and partake. And we'll go ahead and pass the trays to our deacons. But also then the cup we have before us here, a glass cup, so it will be one that you can remember and hang on to as a way of commemorating the occasion of your baptism and the celebration of the Lord's Supper as you each partake. And also, it's my privilege to present to each of you the chalice, because again, this is the symbol of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We see it on all of our paperwork and the like, but it has the spot there for each of you to place the cup. Oh, Justin, I got the wrong one. There we go. That's yours, Justin, excuse me. And Jessica, this is yours. And Clayton, that's yours. And I present to you, Clayton, your certificate of baptism. And Jessica, yours. Justin and Hannah. And also, let us go ahead and have our deacons receive the cups. There we go. Thank you. And may we have, first of all, the prayer for the bread and the cup, and then I'll have a prayer for the Bojina family.
We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to worship you in your house. Here at this table, we remember that your Son gave his life so that we might have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that you will bless this bread and this cup. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And Lord God, it is indeed our privilege to celebrate the confession of faith and now also the celebration of baptism for the Bojina family. We pray your blessing for Jessica and for Justin, for Hannah and for Clayton. Watch over their lives and may they indeed experience the fullness of your Spirit's presence as they embark upon this journey of faithfulness, indeed as individuals, but also as a family. For this we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. The scriptures of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 tell us, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." We receive our tithes and offerings as Ron, first of all, leads us in a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather around this your table once again. We thank you for the past week and all of its blessings. We look forward to the week ahead with all of its opportunities. We ask your blessings on these gifts, tithes, and offerings. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading I'd like to share with you this morning is from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us, and so then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin that holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord God, for the assembly of the saints, who are the great crowd of witnesses cheering us on as we strive to be about your kingdom's work, we give you thanks. As we strive to study and uphold your word this Lord's day and always, it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the first three Sundays of this sermon series, The Power of Naming Names, we first learned that the spoken word possesses great and genuine power. We know that when God speaks, things happen. God spoke, and all creation came into existence. Jesus spoke, and people were healed, while others arose from the dead. Even the speaking of our confession of faith plays an integral part of our own salvation. Second, we learned that God and Jesus named people with words that had specific meaning, for they were striving to portray a purpose and a destiny for that person That would be for the glory of God's purposes. Very different way from the way we name people, especially at times of birth. Last week, the third Sunday, we learned that the meaning behind Jesus' name also was to portray his purpose and destiny for the glory of a singular godly purpose. We remember that Jesus' name, again, is all about salvation for humanity. Today, we focus on the reason why we have a commemoration for All Saints' Day. Now, All Saints' Day this year falls on Tuesday, the 1st of November. But we are going to make our commemoration a couple of days ahead on next Sunday, the 30th of October. For it is in the speaking of names that saints of the church are not only remembered, but the remembrance of their good deeds is also upheld for the glory of God. And in the remembering of their names and in remembering what saints have done before us, their lives should inspire us to be about God's work in our day and time. We remember Stephen, a deacon of the church in Jerusalem, and considered to be the first martyr of the Christian faith. He is remembered as a saint, for even as he was being stoned to death by members of the Jewish High Council, he declared in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, "Lord, do not remember this sin against them." A more recent saint, of course, for our period of time, is Mother Teresa, who died in 1997 and was canonized, which means that she was added to the list of saints in the year 2016. She is honored for her work among the destitute, particularly in India. She was also a recipient of the Nobel Prize for Peace in 1979. In the New Testament, the Greek word for saint simply means holy or set apart. The word saint or saints is used 67 times in the New Testament. In his writings, the Apostle Paul calls believers saints on 15 different occasions, realizing believers are to be set apart simply for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Son of the living God. So, to a degree, when Paul is talking about the saints of the church, he's also talking about you and me as we make our confession of faith and then strive to live a godly life. For many of people of faith today, All Saints' Day has become a day to not only honor the canonized saints of the church, and by the way, in the Catholic Church, there are 10,000 saints on the list. But it is also a time to honor our beloved people of God who are now deceased, but who have greatly inspired us through the testimony of their own faith journey. For you, a saint you might want to remember may be a father, a mother, a grandparent, another relative. It may be a teacher at a particular school. It may be a deacon or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or somebody in the life of the church who just truly inspired you. You likely have people in your life that you would consider saints in the way they live their lives. And as All Saints' Day commemoration approaches, may we on this Sunday morning consider what the author of the book of Hebrews calls the great cloud of witnesses, all of the saints that have passed on before us, who are assembled in the heavenly realm. They cheer God's people on to do God's work, like fans gathered in a great sports stadium. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 then states, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." It is so true that we can easily get caught up in the concerns of our day-to-day living and think at times that we're all alone in our journey. But if you envision the assembly of the saints watching over you and striving to encourage you on, it puts your life, your circumstances, and your destiny in a whole different light. Now, I don't mean you got to think that it's like mama watching over you, right? We don't want that kind of guilt trip on us. We need to understand this is a measure of encouragement to think that you have the saints on your side wanting to encourage you to do God's work. Therefore, as we look at the text here, here's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. The word therefore here is a reference back to the previous chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, where we have a litany of a great number of the saints of the Old Testament and references to their faith, their willingness to follow God despite not knowing what was ahead of them on the journey. Those honored in Hebrews chapter 11 include Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, all the Hebrews who crossed the Red Sea, all those who walked around and shouted at the walls of Jericho, and even the foreigner Rahab, who believed in the Hebrews' God. And as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 states, what a record of all these have won by their faith. As the text continues here in that first verse of Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, we have this large crowd of witnesses. As one version of the Bible states, it is, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In the Greek language, in this New Testament text, the words for encompassed about means to be completely surrounded. And as the author of Hebrews also talks about running with determination later in this first verse, the author has us imagining a stadium filled with spectators observing a foot race on an Olympic-style track and field. And as we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we recognize that in the Greek language, the word cloud is naphos. Naphos is a reference to the clouds high up in the sky. But in the Greek culture, it was also used to describe the highest bleachers in the stadium. What do we call that section? The nosebleed section, right? Here in the Greek times, they had the same kind of stadiums, and they call it the naphos. In fact, the top bleachers were simply called the naphos or the clouds. Additionally, this word for cloud was also used to refer to a crowd of people. Thus, we must understand the author of Hebrews is saying to the Christians who would have been listening to this letter that we call the book of Hebrews, these people who were being challenged to maintain their faith in spite of persecution, they were being said right before your eyes, surrounding you and reaching high up into the heavens. There is this grand stadium filled with, to the highest rows, a huge assembly of witnesses. And they are the saints of faith who have lived before your time and are cheering you on. And with such a crowd watching you then, let us get rid of everything that gets in our way and of the sin that holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that God has set before us, right? Then in the second verse, the author of Hebrews calls the listeners to the letter of the example of Jesus Christ, as if he is a great athletic star who may also be seated in the grandest seat at the stadium. He too is cheering on the believers who are striving to follow in his footsteps as they are put as they put on their shoes and are in the starting blocks and ready themselves to hear the shot and then run with great gusto the race of Christian witness that is set before them. As Hebrews verse 2 of chapter 1 states, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now then seated at the right side of God's throne. So on this Sunday, before we have this year's All Saints Day commemoration, and in fact, in the midst of every day that we live, we can see how the imagery of these two verses in Hebrews chapter 12 can be so very empowering for Christian believers like you and like me, even in our present moment. Every one of us has likely at one time or another experienced the energy and felt the literal vibration of the stands. We have been overwhelmed with the roar of a massive crowd, the tens of thousands of spectators cheering on our favored team. If you've been in the stadium to watch the Chiefs, certainly you've probably have experienced that. Certainly was the case when we were in Lincoln and Nebraska was playing. You know, just the roar. It just makes everything vibrate, doesn't it? Now, just imagine, though, that kind of cheering going on, not for a ball game, but for your willingness to strive in the faith and to be about God's kingdom's work. We are the believers of our time. And we are standing on this field that we call life. We can look up to the crowd. We can make out the faces of our loved ones who have passed on before us. And they, along with the saints of the church, are eagerly cheering us on in our earthly endeavors. And with this imaginary context in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, held deep within our mind's eye, we realize that the spiritual and the earthly, the eternal and the temporal, are not that far apart. And so, as we will be honoring the saints next Sunday for our All Saints commemoration, and also honoring loved ones who have inspired us on our journey of faith, we are empowered by their cheering encouragement to step up and run with great determination the race of Christian witness that is before you and me. So, the sign outside simply says, Cheering Saints. And the verse that is the focus for the day, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. So I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 552, Standing on the Promises, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, I fell, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder, we do have our board meeting for October, immediately after the second service. We do need a quorum. So elders and deacons and committee chair people, your presence is genuinely appreciated. We do need to vote on the 23 new budget, and we also have a letter we've got to communicate to our bank, and that has to be approved by the board. So your presence will certainly be helpful. We'll be done before the chiefs start playing. May we pray. Lord God, guide us as we step forward into the new week, and please indeed have your Spirit direct us as we strive to be about your purposes. Lord, we give thanks for the baptism of the Bojina family. We pray your blessing for each of them. And as we journey forward in the days ahead, may we always be about your purposes. It's in Christ's name that we do give thanks. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all your quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Hosannas languish tongues, and our devotion dies. Waken our souls to joyful songs. Let pure devotion rise. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with your enlivening ways, come shed abroad the Savior's love and teach our hearts to praise.
Amen. Go out and make it a great week.